Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
More fun than an £85 Grinch visit is VGC, a video game podcast with me, Jordan Midler, Chris Scullion, and Pete Donaldson. This week, we've got The Last of Us 2 again. Wonder Woman isn't a live service, and Intellivision are at it. But first, how are we doing, folks? Chris, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm annoyed at FIFA, if I'm being honest with you.
Oh, yeah?
EA Sports.
I was about to say, what, the corporation? Gianni Infantino?
I know. I'm still waiting for that good game for the e-boys and e-girls.
Yeah.
The old season of FIFA, EA Sports finished last night. And I was like up late finishing it, like, because I had to get the last reward for the season. And the last reward was a pack of 3 86 rated players,
yep,
or a pack of 2 87 rated players. Now I've got 86 rated players firing at every hole in my body. So I thought, well, I'm going to go for the 87s, and it's 2 players I've already got. It's like, so the top tier at a season pass should never be something that's useless.
Yeah. Have you seen the state of the new season pass?
Aye. The top reward is a badge with a snowflake on it. It's almost as if they know.
Yeah. Last night I had the realization that I wasn't going to make it to the end, so I had to play like a load of games to get the XP and stuff like that. And I can't open any of my packs because on my transfer list I currently have an Antoine Griezmann that I can't do anything with. However, Chris, and for the EAFC heads amongst us, an SBC is coming of Kenny Dalglish, like a 90 rated Kenny Dalglish. So I think
it's always going to be like, it'll be like, sorry for people who don't give a shit about these games because we're getting technical here. It'll be like 8 separate challenges and the last one will be an 88 rated team. I'm like, I don't care that much for Kenny Dalglish. I've got Larson.
No, I also have Larson. But
that'll do.
I've got to build my Celtic past and present. They just put they just put the Hun Skelper in the game. They put Dembele, gave him a good card. Anyway, Pete, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very offended that you have a real issue, Jordan, with 1980s video games that me and Chris talk about. But Kenny Dalglish is involved.
Yeah, I know.
Bang on.
Look, the Thunderstruck icons are coming to the game on Friday. These icons will be upgraded based on their former teams in real life performance. So if you somehow get a Ronaldinho, if you're an oil shake and you have that kind of money, if Barca play well, you'll be upgraded.
They used to do in Madden. And I think they maybe do it in the NBA or used to do it in the NBA games. Mm. See, if you got a duplicate player that you didn't want, there was a wee album you could put them in, almost like a sticker book. And if you completed the album, then you would get another reward. And so it actually gave you something you could do with the cards you've already got. Because if we're not allowed to sell them, and because all these rewards are almost always untradeable, which means if you get a player that you've already got, tough, you just punt them for nothing. Mm. If you're not allowed to sell them, at least let us use them in a collection and give us a reward if we get like everyone in one
team. At least give yourself like a little animation of like seeing the player being lowered into a vat of acid, like Roger Rabbit. Or
exactly.
Oh, okay. Is that just FIFA and EAFC in general, or what?
Just the mechanics. Yeah. Just the mechanics. Like, I'm still playing it.
Surprise mechanics. Surprise! The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered has officially been announced and an upgrade path has been detailed. Following earlier leaks, this release was leakier than the Titanic over that Friday, and obviously we'd been talking about it a wee bit beforehand. The game, which will be released on PlayStation 5 January 19th, 2024, will also receive a physical deluxe edition. The WLF, don't know who that's. It's a organization in the game that I think is a spoiler, so I won't talk
more
about
like
it.
More like WTF.
See you later, folks. Oh, they list it here. The Washington Liberation Front Edition will come with a patch, 47 Society of Champions trading cards. Who's your favourite member of the Society of Champions, Chris?
Scott Hall.
Oh, okay, good. God rest him. Including 8 holographic cards. This version of the game will be exclusive to PlayStation Direct in United States, United Kingdom, Germany, France, Benelux, which I was on Giant Bomb this week and said that that was Belgium and Luxembourg, negating the fact that that's also the Netherlands. Although, considering the news coming out of the Netherlands today, Italy, Spain, Portugal, and Austria.
I'm just going to show my phone as well. Yeah,
let's have a BBC break.
It's what you
the guy, the guy from Tim and Eric is one
of them. The thing that makes me laugh is the guy in Argentina with the big side. He looks so much like my dad in the 70s.
Stu Donaldson.
He looks so much like Stewie Donaldson. It's unbelievable. There's a picture of the leader of Argentina pretending to eat me with a knife and fork as a baby on a table, and I'm going to release it. I'm going to make millions.
That would only strengthen his cause. People will remember that when they did a physical version of The Last of Us Part 1 exclusive to PlayStation Direct, they shipped it in small brown paper bags, so it was getting kicked through front doors like Zlatan was delivering the post. So hopefully they'll sort it out. The real highlight of this story, though, and the thing that they had to do, you can upgrade from the PS4 version for a tenner, which was the same price as the kind of upgrade, the cross-gen upgrades that were earlier in the PS5's life cycle. However, this version comes with the Lost Levels, which I think is cool. It's like 3 new sequences and also a roguelike mode. Chris, cynical scullion, how did this hit your ear?
So-so. As I understand it, the Lost Levels is basically a reskin of a Japanese Last of Us sequel called Doki Doki Panic. In that sense, like, that's a bit cheeky.
Loads of turnips everywhere.
Exactly. Speaking of turnips, I thought it was a turnip for the books that they've actually put in the £10, the $10 upgrade, rather than being super cheeky and charging full price again for it. It's weird. It's half an hour. It depends on what side of the fanboy fence you want to sit on, because if you bleed green, then go to the doctors. And also the fact that most Xbox games get smart delivery, so when you buy the Xbox One version, you get the Series X version for no price. But then if you bleed blue, you can add that there's extra stuff here that kind of justifies the extra price. So I don't mind. I've got the PS4 version and I never get around to playing it, so I'll pay the $10 to get the PS. I don't mind that much.
That's exactly my situation as well. I've kind of got the PS4s, but I don't have a CD drive, so that's me absolutely out of the... I don't have a DVD drive on my PS5, so maybe I can rub it on the side and it'll absorb it to the hard drive somehow.
It's a weird situation wherein I think that if they'd done the full £70 thing, they would have been laughed out of town, and there was still some laughing out of town going on, but... considering it's just a £10 upgrade, and you do get stuff for it, it's not just like it's a prettified version or whatever. Pete, you're Last of Us, man. I don't know where you stand on the whole Sony third-person cryathon games.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan. I like any game that has spent more money on animation than marketing, certainly for the first game anyway. But yeah, I think I really enjoy it. I've still not played Last of Us 2, to be honest, so this possibly will be a chance for me to dip back in. I think, is it fair to say that Druckmann hasn't necessarily been quite so front and centre in the PR for this sort of remaster, bearing in mind what's happening politically in Israel? And, you know, obviously it's a bit of an allegory of Israel-Palestine, Last of Us 2 in particular, in Seattle, the walled city and all that stuff just seems to be quite on the nose for them to announce that right now, I guess.
I think they have very intentionally kind of sat him to the side for this, because it's...
Sit this one out.
That allegory and the things he has said is not widely known. It's not something, and the more he was out and about talking about this, the more it would be amplified. And plus he's doing his own thing now. So I think this is kind of a sleepy release. It's just it's a January thing to get it on the books. But it's an all right one. I asked on Twitter what games from that gen people were wanting, and I don't know why I didn't think that this was just going to be the answer, but people are just screaming for a fucking Bloodborne patch, man. Over and over again, people are talking about this goddamn Bloodborne. friend of the show, Andy Cortez, was asking people on Twitter if they could mod a PS5 for him just so he could play Bloodborne at 60 frames a second. Chris, what's... You work at From Software. What is going on with Bloodborne? Why is it just such this white whale of them never touching it? Because that's a money printer, surely.
Mate, every day I go into work at From Software, I'm always the first thing I say to the receptionist, even, who doesn't actually have like a say in this. For some reason, I'm just giving her constant abuse for not bringing out Bloodborne. I don't know. It's not my jam. Those games. It's the opposite of what I like in a game. I can't be bothered with dying all the time, so
I want to live all the time, man.
Exactly. Why die?
Purely from like just
surely it's happening. Surely it's going to happen at some point. No company will ever turn down easy money. And remastering games is obviously easier than making brand new games from scratch. And if so many people want it, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
It's not going to be a $10 upgrade. I think they've got to wait maybe another year just to give them a bit more plausible kind of like space between do a Demon the Souls original release. Yeah.
So 2025 would be the 10-year anniversary of Bloodborne. Like, if they were going to do that would be enough time and like a nice thing to be like, okay, we've remastered it or we've fully remade it. Although, if you were going to remake it, it would be Bluepoint that would do it, theoretically, because From wouldn't do it. From were busy doing fucking Elden Ring 2 or whatever, and I don't know. Bloodborne is one of the, in case of emergency, break glass games, where if Sony are really in the shit and they have to do a PR tour like Microsoft have been doing the past 5 years, and they have to win the hearts and minds, they go, oh, Bloodborne, like, let's bring it back. So, yeah, lots of shouts for Red Dead 2. I can't believe that's not happened yet either. Mm. Especially because they dropped that stealth patch that made the PS4 version of Red Dead 1 run at 60. And people were like, why can you not just do this for the PS5 version? It's right there. Yeah, weird one. Pete, what game from the 80s would you pay a 10 quid PS5 version for?
Oh, I would very much like the Delphine graphic adventure Cruise for a Corpse to come back in 3D.
Is that real or is that a snuff film? Is that a bit of
gore? It's a Poirot game that I've revisited quite recently because I want to just exercise some demons from my past and I hate it a lot and it's just a real piece of work. Like, it was, you know, Delphine were good. They released some really good stuff. But this was a half-translated, pixel-hunting mess of a game that I cannot rest until I finish. And I was in Madeira over the weekend, and I played it pretty constantly throughout until, going down to the pool was, I'm off cruising for a corpse, Sarah. It became a big deal in our relationship that I was this frustrated Poirot character trying to figure out who done the murder. But it's just excruciating. At one point, there is a lovable kind of comic character, the butler of the man who dies at the start of the game. And he just readily admits from nowhere that he put a woman in hospital because he was hot-headed and young. And it was just like a bit of his backstory that wasn't like, oh my God, I don't want to talk to this man anymore. It was just, it's just a bit of me backstory. That's why I went to prison. I hit a woman until she went to hospital. Incredible, incredible piece of shit game. But I love it. I can't stop playing it. I want to see what horrible things are going to befall me in the fourth act.
You have fun in Madeira, Pete? You get lost? Are you okay?
No, did I just sat on a balcony and played Chris Rickops on a DOSBox Mac.
Very nice. You still messing about with the old Steam Deck?
I'm still messing about with the old Steam Deck. Whenever a new sort of product turns up, I'm always like, oh, I'm quite excited, and maybe I'll get an OLED, but yeah, I'm not going to do that. But they do look really good, don't they? The old OLED. People are very excited by their HDR capabilities, which you won't see in Cruise for Cops when I get that on there.
as long as it doesn't get lost in the Atlantic Ocean, we might have more on the Steam Deck OLED in the coming weeks.
Yes,
but we will see. Story number two, Chris. Be excited. Warner Brothers denies Wonder Woman game will be live service. This is following a report from Wikifatech earlier this week, in which a job ad said that a lead software engineer for Gameplay Monolith that the game would have live service elements. Now, in a statement to IGN, Warner denied that the game will be live service, saying, Wonder Woman is a single-player action-adventure game set in a dynamic open world. This third-person experience will allow players to become Diana of Themyscira and introduce an original story set in the DC universe, while also featuring the Nemesis system TM. Wonder Woman is not designed as a live service. Chris, how excited are you?
About the same as I was last time, which is not very. Like, it's nice. Like, obviously, when Tech announced the story earlier, and it was like, here we go. There was a concern, especially with Warner Brothers recently, that the high hegemon at Warner Brothers saying, no, but we're going to make everything a live service. Obviously, that was concerning. It'll be interesting. I'd be curious to know if this statement has come as a response to the backlash rather than being the plan all along, because the game's clearly far enough away that they can backtrack and U-turn on certain elements, you would imagine. So I don't know. I'd be curious to know how this statement has come about. Either way, it's going to be interesting when it comes out now, because if it isn't getting any live service elements, then you can say, okay, fair play. How are you going to make money off this? Because I'm not sure it will sell enough to, because what I don't think Wonder Woman's as big a sell as other kind of comic brands. And if they do add live service stuff later on, then they've exposed themselves at this point, and it's going to look extremely bad when it eventually happens. So either way, I wouldn't want to be in the situation of the bean counters waiting for this one to release.
I do wonder if it was a case of the team at Wonder Woman being like, oh, the well has been poisoned already, and we've shown like one logo for this game. Can we please put something out? Being like, we're doing it as a normal game. It's a normal game-ass game. Pete, in this era of leaks and news about video games coming from epoxy websites like VGC, what do you think the internal politics is like of trying to clarify something like this from a big studio like Warner Brothers?
It's just kind of like it's a little bit like a football manager sort of finding out that your midfield has said something when he's on international duty in French, and you're why has he said that? Like, oh, maybe it's lost in translation. Like, it must be so hard to sort of keep all of the to have to respond to quite spurious kind of a mistake with a checkbox on a bit of like back end on a job site. Like, it must be so annoying to kind of like have to deal with stuff like this, but as an investigative journalist, Chris and John, like how often do people who sleuth this stuff out have to check job sites, LinkedIn? How do they get all of this? Do they have to just go around all of like the different subsidiary corporations and companies to see if they're hiring, to see like check people, actors' LinkedIns and stuff? I don't know how you harness all of this information and disseminate it in such a way to write pieces about it, because I just don't know. It sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it's not to give the game fully away, but LinkedIn is one of the best ways that, because as soon as if people have been laid off, they're not too bothered about these NDAs or talking about the fact that they've been laid off. So it's a lot of that. It's a lot of people who follow VGC or follow you personally will DM you on Discord at 3 a.m. and be like, I saw this weird thing. This popped up on Amazon Korea for a second, and you can go that route. But yeah, it's a lot of... It's kind of a problem of the video game industry's own making, because it's so secretive. Like, we know the next 50 Marvel films or whatever, but the video game industry is so unwilling to talk about a project before it's got like a logo or something like that. So this like kind of necessitates stuff like this. This job ad thing is kind of bad luck, because job ads like that will include stuff that you're never going to actually have to do. It's just, it would be cool if you knew this, it'd be cool if you knew that. So it was kind of adding one-on-one to make 50, but yeah.
The new Wonder Woman's going to have Windows, Microsoft Office.
Hell yeah, it's going to be all about Excel.
You're going to have to know Excel.
Yeah, it's a lot of that ends up happening, and a lot of stuff that you hear from one person and you spend 6 months trying to hear it from a second person, because if you just get it floated to you by one person, the obvious instinct is this person's trying to fuck on me, so I cannot.
That's what happened when I knew the name of what's that little ball? I don't know, I've forgotten it. The little ball robot in the last Star Wars
BB-8 things.
Yes, I knew his name because a friend went over and did some studio stuff, and I told somebody who worked at a video game company, and that would have been, you know what Star Wars fans are like, that would have been absolute manna from heaven. He sat on it. He sat on it. Didn't get the scoop. Unbelievable. And I was right. The little ball, little talking ball, beep beep and that, and that floating around.
Beep beeping and that. Get on your LinkedIn. Every time someone adds me on LinkedIn, I think, is this it? Am I getting poached? Is this it? Speaking of LinkedIn, story number 3, Borderlands 4 and Tiny Tina's Wonderlands 2 mentioned on a LinkedIn profile. This is a profile of a former Gearbox employee who worked at Lost Boys Interactive, who were a support studio on the first Tiny Tina and WWE 2K23. According to the LinkedIn profile, he worked on Borderlands 4 and Tiny Tina's Wonderlands 2. This, as you may recall, will be caught up in the Embracer saga. Embracer is going down like a lead balloon. They're offloading everything they can because money was fake a few years ago, and now money's very seriously real. So, Chris, I imagine we get these, but I imagine we get these once Embracer sells Gearbox to Take-Two.
Yeah, potentially. I would see that coming. I mean, it's like, it's... I loved the first Borderlands.
Oh, me too.
Then massively dropped out. Like, I just couldn't, like, that when I saw the stuff, the Tiny Tina stuff, I was like, I hate this character. Like, so this is such an annoying character. And then I was just like, I think it became too clever for its own good. And so I'm not really a big fan of it anymore. So for those who are well up for their Borderlands, then it's good for them to know that it's still coming. I see they're massively selling off that big box set collection thing on the Xbox Black Friday sale just now. They've got like $160 or whatever it is, $200 bundle on Xbox, and it's down to like, it's like 60% off or something. It's got like everything. So if you're,
I always think that's bullshit though. That's like when you go on Amazon and it's like box set of all the James Bond films. It's like, it should be 170, for 40 quid. Like,
I'll say that on Facebook Marketplace within the week.
But yeah, it blows my mind how like this keeps happening. It's like, surely one of the first things an employer should tell all staff is that you do not mention the projects you're working on LinkedIn until they are officially announced. But you see a lot of LinkedIn profiles say working on unannounced game, even if a game is cancelled, on game that was never announced or previously cancelled game, even then they know not to mention it because they don't want to become the story and they don't want to then harm their chances of being employed elsewhere, because who's going to hire somebody who's going to blurt what they're working on? So I'd imagine the person who did this, who I won't name, but you got to imagine that they will know not to do this again, because it's like, when it's a dangerous thing.
When my partner gets, she's an actor, and she occasionally she gets the odd casting for a video game, and I'm always like really excited about like what game it is, but the names are always like changed to buggery, and you try and Google them, and you're like, I literally have no idea. Like, I was 99% certain she had a casting for Starfield a couple of years ago, and I was like, but there was just like, it's so vague, and there must be two or three people who just manage data like that, like going, leaving the company and coming back, so there's a bit of like deniability there.
It's like, what's this, a casting call for Bloodbone? What could that be?
Bloodbone. But like, did you guys enjoy, like, is the falling off the Borderlands kind of series just about maturing a bit and just sort of going,
it's purely a vibe problem. The gameplay's still good. Like, I played Tiny Tina's, the gameplay is like, it's a shit hot shooter, but like, everything around it is just an annoying.
Well,
it's like,
as soon as the characters open the flipping mouth,
it's Deadpool
cringe.
Core. It's stuff that you'd be well into if you were 14 and you're like still buying posters from HMV.
This is what I don't get though. It's like, who and there will be people, I'm at risk of insulting people here, but who are the people who bought Borderlands 1 when it came out and are still up for Borderlands 4? Because that's a lot of years to have passed to still be into that kind of adolescent edgy humour.
I have a weird, you know these things that you pick up in your life that all have weird linked memories together? The day I went to buy Borderlands 2 from Game Center in the Paisley Center, RIP, God rest it, I was in sixth year in school, and we then went to like a thing at the school, and a guy came up to me with his phone and he was like, "Have you seen this video?" And it was Gangnam Style, the first time I saw Gangnam Style. And that all happened on the same day.
Wow.
So it was all very closely associated for me for whatever reason.
I think I've said before on a different podcast that my sexual onanist awakening was I was playing the Amiga version of Hero Quest, a video game reimagining of a tabletop classic, and it was the first time I ejaculated on my own steam, so to speak. So it's very much
so to speak.
So to speak.
If you'll pardon the euphemism.
If you know what I'm saying, nudge, wink, wink.
But whenever I think of the muscular barbarian, the dwarf,
hey, what do you mean off your own steam? How were you doing it before?
I made a rudimentary steam-based fleshlight that I took to an shoveling old toy train I had.
Oh well, that's good. I can't really follow on from that.
No.
Got any masturbatory links with video games?
Oh, I remember Worms Director's Cut fondly. No, certainly not. Yeah, that's the sort of story that will leave a mark, maybe even a house mark, Jordan.
There we go.
That's three now. You've had WTF, you've had Turnip and Turnip for the Books. Yeah.
So all that time being absolutely raging on Twitter, you've had time to work on your plans.
I'm not even getting into it.
Returnal's director is leaving Housemarque. Harry Kruger, director of... director of Housemarque's acclaimed PS5 game, Returnal, the best game on PS5. It's a joke that VGC gave it 4 stars, has announced that he's leaving Helsinki-based developer after 14 years. Announcing the news on the studio's website, Kruger said that the decision to leave was very difficult, and that he was confident that the developer's brightest chapter had yet to be written. There's a nice statement on the Housemarque website. Harry Kruger was there 14 years, so that's Returnal. That's not Alien. Is it Matterfall was the one after that? And then obviously Returnal. They're making their next game at the minute. It's a new IP. Chris, what happens to the studio when someone like this kind of figurehead moves on? Is that a case of some? Think about when what's her face, Amy Naughty Dog, Amy. What's her second name?
Hennig.
Amy Hennig. When Amy Hennig left Naughty Dog, and like Neil and Bruce moved up from within. Do you think that's the kind of thing that happens at most studios, or do they get Pete Donaldson in to steady the ship?
Sort them all out, knock some heads together.
It's hard to tell because obviously games are like more than just one person. There's a big, massive team of people, but obviously you do have to have a figurehead to kind of guide the ship. So I'd imagine that for some people, the departure of Kruger is a nightmare. Wink, wink. Oh. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people who made Returnal, the 4 out of 5 game Returnal. So I'd imagine a lot of those people will still be on board for whatever the sequel is. So I'd imagine that Kruger's departure won't kind of completely derail the ship, but that's totally mixing up the metaphors. It won't sink the ship.
That's how it gets in the sea. It's always on a rail.
Exactly.
It
starts on
the sea.
Well,
yeah,
to be fair, they do. They slide. They hit it with a bottle and slide it down the rail. And so that's maybe they do want to derail the ship then.
Because
then
get it in the sea.
It'll be launched. So yeah. Well done, Harry. You've done them a favour.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the when I spoke to them before Returnal and then just after Returnal, and they seem to be really like, Returnal obviously didn't sell a million, but it didn't sell billions of copies or whatever. It's not going to sell like a God of War or a Last of Us, but they kind of proved their mettle in terms of making like a big 3D full-on PlayStation game. So I'll be excited to see what they do next. Another Finnish developer in the Alan Wake The Alan Wake Remedy verse. Pete, you look a bit like Harry Kruger. I know you look like everyone, but
let me click on this guy's face. I'll take any man from Finland's look, because they always look quite healthy and intense, and they've always got good hair, so I'll absolutely take that. But I do think when these people, John, leave companies, And they sort of do this quite like lovely speech about how, you know, the great days are still to come. You do sort of go like, I wish someone just left going, yous are all done. Yous are all cooked. These were the best days. See you later. I hope you sink. these corporate men. Ugh, rubbish.
Yeah. Pete, are you on Sam Lake's TikTok?
No, I'm not.
You should get in about Sam Lake's TikTok. It's tremendous. It is him just drinking coffee and walking around and doing the face and putting the face.
I mean, coffee will make you do that face, I think.
Yeah. He's having a real Indian summer as our Sam Lake.
Is that the only thing that makes him do that face, is it, Pete?
Yes. Get on the hero quest. Wonder who released that. I did.
I will play anything Housemarque makes. I want to go to Finland and see how particly their actual office is. I like to think when you walk through a door, it just shatters into a million voxels and particles, and I'm like, look what we are able to do. That
another door for the budget.
I don't know why
they're from Transylvania. it's because the count works there. He counts the doors as they break. Five broken doors.
10 million pixels. What, is a Finnish accent? It's like, hello, I'm from Finland. It's very kind of done here. No, that's like Russian. That's like Nico Bellic.
Well, they share a wall. They share a border with Russia, don't they? So it's kind of like they're quite an interesting mix, I think.
That's why Putin doesn't want them to join NATO. Let's get political. I don't even know if that's true, but still.
You can't talk about Finland without talking about the anti-Niemi phone call. Do you remember this one, Jordan? You must know this one.
What was this?
Talksport years ago were talking about Scotland goalkeepers and saying how like Scotland doesn't have a good goalie, and some guy phoned up, a Hearts supporter, and said, what about Antti Niemi at Hearts? Why doesn't he play? And like, what, for Scotland? He's like, yeah, he's a great player for Hearts. He's a great goalie for Hearts. I don't see why he shouldn't get a game. And someone said, he's Finnish. He's like, he's not Finnish, he's 29.
Beautiful.
Scottish football phone and radio is the home of the greatest moments.
Surprised that got thrown on TalkSport. They never talk about Scottish football.
Google Rangers supporters phoning into Clyde One, all that kind of stuff. It's just it's beautiful stuff. It sounds like they're running up a motorway with their mobile phone in their pocket while they're phoning, but they still think that's broadcastable. Next story, Pokemon COO wants to keep the series going for hundreds of years, so I'll need to stay alive for hundreds of years. In an interview with The Guardian, Taketo Itsunomiya was asked about his current role at the company. He responded, I spend all day, every day, thinking about Pokemon. Me too. Our goal is to keep Pokemon alive for hundreds of years, making sure it survives well past our lifetimes. He also pointed out that while it's important to keep satisfying existing fans, many of whom played their first Pokemon game as a child and are now adults, it's equally important and harder to ensure young players keep discovering the series. It's easy just to focus on adults. They have a lot of disposable income. You can see the reactions in real time on social media, but we need to make sure that we're still keeping the younger kids interested. Kids are very honest. They won't play something they don't like. If your brand feels old or boring, they immediately dismiss it. You are an owner of a child, Chris Scullion. Has there been any interest in Pokemon at her age? Is Pokemon still kicking a ball for that age group?
Mild interest. Like, she likes Pikachu. Nothing much beyond that. I've put a couple episodes on, and she'll watch them, but then she'll go on to wanting to watch something else. So it's maybe a wee bit early. Like, she's certainly too young to play the games because she can't read that well yet. So that kind of... It's maybe a couple of years away yet, but... She knows Pikachu. Like, Pikachu still is relevant among the kids. It's still like one of those characters that kids will wear on T-shirts and stuff. If they don't know who they are, they still...
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he's an iconic kind of character now. So Pikachu's not going anywhere. I can't say the same for Cubone, but certainly Pikachu's...
Why would you pick Cubone? I'm going to get in so much fucking trouble for that. Why would you pick Cubone?
I know your partner likes Cubone, but I still don't understand why all Was it Tiffany's that was doing the jewellery?
Oh, right.
Very good. I don't understand why they picked Cubone out of, like, they'll
it's pick a bit like 90s WCW, isn't it? It's the sort of mask that, like, Vader would wear on top of, like, is it Charizard? He looks like Charizard, yeah, but with a helmet on.
Yeah.
But I know
it was an odd choice, considering how many there are and how many, like, iconic ones there are, that of the eight, or six even, that was one that they chose.
Cubone's still mega popular. Like, he gets merchandised all the time, and that is reflective of, like, they have internal metrics of, like, who is the hot Pokemon and stuff like that. So the hot Pokemon is Gardevoir, obviously, but Cubone's mega popular. So what age is your kid now?
She is five and a half.
Five. Okay, yeah. So my wee cousin is 10-ish, I believe. And she's mad into Pokemon, mm-hmm, and she has been for a couple of years. Like, she's all about the cards. I don't know if she watches the program as much, because obviously we're in an age where, like, the whole sitting down to watch Saturday morning kids telly isn't really the thing anymore. Yeah. But she loves the cards. She plays the games. And yeah, I suppose I wonder what age it's really aiming at now, because I got into Pokemon when I was like six or seven, because obviously, like, I turned five in the year 2000, so I was of the perfect age to get into Pokemon. Yeah. So, yeah, I think they'll be fine. Pokemon makes more money every year than it did the previous year, and it's more, like, every single Pokemon game seems to outsell the last one. So I don't think it's escaped the thing of, you think about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it's still big than now, but it had its kind of prime back in your heyday, Chris. Mm-hmm. It's like escaped
the glory days, I believe they call them.
Yeah, the glory days, that kind of that kind of velocity. It does make you wonder, though. Mickey Mouse is 95 this week, so for Pokemon to survive hundreds of years, it'll have to. I don't know.
Well, even like every prefecture in Japan has a massive Gundam, and that was like the 70s, wasn't it? It's they know how to sustain this, and they really are a lesson to Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Hot brands like Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Digimon couldn't cut it, could it?
Digimon, yeah.
Digimon monsters. Digimon are the champions. shout out my man Garurumon. Speaking of hot brands, let's advertise to you, and we'll be back in a minute.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
And we are back. Couple more stories before I tell you what I was last week. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake is reportedly still in development at Saber. Now, this has been a bit of a saga. It started when Jeff Grubb said somewhat offhandedly that he doesn't believe anyone's working on that game. The way he said it was like, oh, I don't think people are working on that game. Not with the specificity of, like, not one person in the world is working on that game, but just generally, like, oh, nobody's working on that. That got reported as, no one is working on that game. They've shut the offices, they've deleted the hard drives. And then Jason Schreier came out and was like, well, I've spoke to two people at Saber who are still working on it. The status of Sony's partnership, people. I know, two people, one doing the YouTube, one doing the Twitter. The status of Sony's involvement is still unknown. When it was announced, it was meant to be this co-partnership with Sony and was it Aspyr? And oh yeah, it was Aspyr, Lucasfilm, Sony, and it was going to be a timed exclusive for the PS5. It was announced in September 2021. Since then, we've heard F all, apart from the fact that it seems like it's up in flames. Chris, does this version of this game ever come out?
Yes.
Ooh.
But not for a while.
Yeah. It goes away and then at a Sony showcase in 2024.
It'll be re-announced at some point. Someone will go, oh, remember this? Maybe it isn't as ambitious as it originally was or something. But I think if Sony's involved to some extent, then there'll be efforts made to get this finished, because it'll make Sony look bad if it doesn't get done, if they announce something that then doesn't come to fruition. So I would imagine it'll get done in some shape or form. Whether it matches the initial ambition or not, I'm not sure. But I think if Sony wasn't involved, I'd have less confidence in it getting done. But if Sony's part of the deal, then by hook or by crook, it'll be out.
It'll just get forced over the line eventually.
I see what you did there. The force, as in the power that you get in Star Wars.
That's me doing the force. Did you? This is a real nonsense. Well, it's not really a non-sequitur, but I was just thinking when I did that, I was like, oh yeah, when we used to play Star Wars in school, it was a lot of like force pushing people, and if they didn't react to it, you're like, well, you're shit at playing this. Like, why are you playing Star Wars with us if you're not going to react to the force? Was it playing Ninja Turtles in your school, Chris, or Hero Turtles, as it was known in the UK?
I think, to be fair, to us, I think it was more WWF. The thing that you should never try at home or at school was what we were very much doing.
I tried it at home,
absolutely The Undertaker. It was more wrestling we did at school, and we watched massive Turtles and collected the Turtles figures, but when it came to make believe, it was very much the World Wrestling Federation.
We just didn't have Sky. I had one VHS with The Simpsons on that my dad's mate got us, and so it was very much Ninja Turtles for me, and I used to make crappy Michelangelo nunchucks that you used to get with the Ninja Turtle figures. I made them out of little sticks and the chain that you got from a plug in a sink.
Nice.
And I'd sit there and I'd make these little nunchucks, and I was pretty blooming good at them. They'd be on Etsy for £80 nowadays.
the wrestling thing, like, we never really did it in school because we'd get like screamed at. Well, in primary school. The time high school rolled around at the tail end of my high school was when the RKO Nowhere meme started. So the boys were just running at each other full point and trying to RKO each other. However, the RKO is a wrestling move that requires both parties to be involved. So if you get RKO'd without knowledge, you're just getting your head like wrenched forward, and you would go home and you'd be like, fucking whiplash for like sitting doing this. Pete, for audio listeners, Pete has displayed a Magic Mike poster featuring Macho Man Randy Savage and Kevin Nash with his cock out.
Yeah, I mean, it's that, I think it's Ghanaian painter who paints all of the popular Hollywood films. He's basically he's taken a run at Magic Mike, the first one. So he's got the main Magic, is Channing Tatum. He's got the main Magic Mike guy with a shoe around his neck for some reason. And Kevin Nash was in Magic Mike, but he certainly wasn't wearing an NWO t-shirt in it. And he's hilariously sort of painted his junk, his testicles, over the top of like a desk. It's very prominent. Macho Man's Randy Savage with a massive honking ass is included as well.
Speaking of massive honking asses, I wonder if we should apply a blur effect to the lady, even though I'm sure Magic Mike was like a male stripping thing.
Oh, there's Jordan, I've just realised.
A spotlight being shone on her genital area.
Nah, it's fine. Yeah. She's completely smooth.
Sorry, Jordan. I mean, to be fair, it doesn't happen in the first minute of the YouTube video, but you'll find out whether there's a strike or not.
There was a video floating around YouTube recently of a guy talking about like hair removal cream, and it just showed his full arsehole on the screen for like multiple minutes. It was like rubbing this hair removal cream into his asshole.
Was that your HeroQuest moment?
you didn't need all that. I was just like, cream on the barbarian's buttocks.
He was just talking about it like he was doing any kind of influencer video. Like, okay, right, today we're talking guys about this stuff, and then just rubbing cream on my.
What, you mean taking money to promote it? This is a generational thing. I can understand your teacher shouting at you for not replicating wrestling, because in your day it was putting people through tables and women with their chests out. Whereas back in my day, it was literally the most you would get is a body slam. That is about as extreme as it got. So I get it. I get how make-believe during the things Attitude have changed, era was a bit more.
Yeah,
wrestling wasn't the problem. It was doing Jackass. That was like the main issue of like, let's go and play Jackass. It's like, yeah, okay.
But backyard wrestling, that kind of whole vibe did kind of like dovetail with wrestling quite nicely, didn't it?
Do you remember the backyard wrestling video games?
Oh, yeah,
they were
remember
awful
that.
And they had the insane clown posse in them. And like a bunch of other artists, we'll say, from Psychopathic Records were also involved. famously, so, or not.
You're famously related to a juggalo, aren't you?
I am indeed. The my brothers. I think his juggalo days are
juggalo days are over.
You've got to be down with the clown. Mm. Speaking of clowns, Chris, what is going on with this in television thing?
Future of entertainment?
Yes.
So for those not following, in television, the one-time rival of Atari came back a few years ago and launched, claimed to be launching a console called the Amico. And I was up for it at the start. Like, there's a lot of people on YouTube and the like are almost desperate to see it fail, and they're dancing in its grave basically at this stage, assuming it dies. And the whole point of it was that it's all family-friendly games. Nothing's adult-rated. All the games are cheap. Blah blah blah. It's all local co-op, and I liked the idea, especially because I had a kid on the way, or the kid was just born. I was like, this will be good. Fast forward a couple of years, and now it doesn't look like the console's coming out anytime soon. But what they've done now is they've released an app that imitates the console's OS. So basically, you can now download the console onto your phone, and then download a second app for a different device, which is the controller. So they're basically releasing the console as a digital thing rather than a physical thing, which is a first for me. I'm used to games getting physical and digital releases, but it's the first time I've seen a console getting a digital release before a physical release.
Is that included in your? I mean, I pre-ordered it. We've stolen the money. We're out of it.
So here's the thing: I pre-ordered it, right? And this is the one thing that I've said this before and like got a bit of stick for it. It's the one time that I've seen the NFC tech being used well, because you could buy games for it, which came on Wii cards, and you're supposed to scan the card on the console, and then that your ownership of that card was registered. And if you gave the card to somebody else and they scanned it, the ownership transferred over, which is how NFTs are supposed to work when they're not an absolute con, which is all the time. But apparently this new app that's coming out, you can scan the card on your phone and then you register the game. So it still works. So technically those games will finally be worth something, even though the games might not be that good. But yeah, I think it's a fair solution just now, so that at least the people who pre-ordered it are getting something. They're getting to play the games at least, even if the console, they're now saying they'll need more investment before the consoles can come out.
So presumably the console itself is just an Android box that they're kind of running top of. So getting this over seems like you're getting everything that we've created thus far. It's just the hard kind of, you know, the prototyping in China back and forth.
Pretty much. So it's a weird. I mean, the console itself looked quite underpowered, to be fair. So I'm not surprised that a phone can probably do infinitely more powerful games than what this thing was churning out. It was kind of, they looked a bit like flash games, the stuff that was coming out. But they were using the Intellivision name to get a lot of licenses. So there was licensed games coming. There was like an Evel Knievel game and a Major League Baseball game, and the deals they were doing seemed sound. It's just they didn't have the money, and obviously COVID didn't help. But at the same time, a lot of products went through COVID and came out at the other end. So that can't be an excuse the entire time.
I mean, I noticed yesterday, I think Logitech have started doing like Indiegogos.
Really?
I don't know where they've started, like they're just on Indiegogo, and it's like this camera for people who do, I guess, presenting on table sort of things. It's basically a tripod and a camera that points down instead of up or across. And it's just like, who's this plucky young company having a crack at seeing what interest is there on Indiegogo? It's Logitech. It's so weird that they get away with doing that. I mean, I guess, you know, they'll take anyone's money, I guess, a company like Indiegogo. But it's a shame because there was a lot of, so many column inches. Like Sean Cleaver was on the show last week, and his product, He must be so annoyed about how much column inches was dedicated to the Intellivision, malaise, palsy. It's sad to see. I hope you get it though, Chris. I hope you get it something.
I'll collect any console that comes out because I like having them. That's my thing. I like to have one of all the big things and even the small things.
Daddy's vice.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like when Stadia died, I bought the controller because the controller worked
and
stuff. I bought an Ouya back in the day. I always support these things because if something comes to them and they grow, brilliant. If it doesn't, then at least it's part of like gaming history that you get to keep, and you can say here was another chapter where it didn't quite work out, and it's part of the whole story. So we'll see.
I was going to do a meme there and hold up another piece of dead gaming tech, as in the PlayStation Portal, but it's actually next door because I was using it. So
you can hold up the VR2 instead. On you go.
God
rest it. it's in a box 6 feet under the ground.
Great sign.
And audio listeners won't have noticed, but I dipped out for a second there. Yeah, because I received a phone call from a strange number, and then who's answering that?
You're so different to us.
It was because
time is money, Jordan.
It was from Air, so I was like, it had a location tag. Who don't know if it's Air?
The Air. Or Ayrshire.
And I was like, okay, I'll pick. It's probably the fucking idiots at the University of the West of Scotland trying to get me to pay back my uni fees. Yeah. Not going to happen, lads.
Move house twice, they never find you.
Provide me with an education, and then I'll give you the money. But I picked it up, and it was just this like piano music being like, an agent will speak to you soon. And I was like, well, I'm sorry, I don't want to speak to an agent. I'm about to be incepted. I'm about to wake up dead.
Right. I will never answer the phone to a number I don't recognize. To my that's the phrase. Like, my doctor was trying to phone me the other day, and I was just ignoring it until like I was like, I'm going to go look that number up. Yeah, it turned out it was a doctor. So it's like, I didn't tell you when I was in the doctor the other day. I said, I explained to them, I've got this really weird thing. I keep thinking I'm the lead singer of the Bare Naked Ladies. And the doctor said, oh, how long's that been going on? I went, it's been. There we go.
This feels like an earlier record than it is.
On the International Space Station. As soon as you said Bare Naked Ladies,
I'll see you later.
It's okay. You're all good.
I've always been very impressed with how accurate I can be with the It's Been. It's one of the few things. It's Been!
I think it's pretty good.
Wow. I think that's pretty good. I could join the Bare Naked Ladies just for that bit, I think.
That's a strong
bit. The only one I had in my locker for a while, let's see if I can still do it, was... I've not got it as strong.
I know,
it's
hard to fire out quickly.
Hard to get the although I do. If I just sorted this facial hair out, I could look like your man for Disturbed in that terrible Sound of Silence cover. It's a video game podcast. Oh yeah. So last week, I went to the Pokemon Company, home of Disturbed, I got the train down to London, as you know, last week, train gate, etc. So I went to the Pokemon Company to play the second piece of DLC for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. This time it's called the Indigo Disc. And the basic premise is, it's a big biome to catch a load of old Pokemon that they've added back into the game. And tied to that is a load of battles that are hard as nails. So, Chris, last time you played a Pokemon game, quite a while ago, yes?
Yeah, I think it would have been when I reviewed Arceus. Before that would have been Let's Go. I've not really dabbled with the main series for a while.
Pretty easy though. You know the types. If it's a water type, you use grass. If it's a grass type, you use fire.
A piece of pips.
However, Pokemon has always had this massively in-depth battle system just under the surface. The Pokemon VGC, as it's known, the Video Game Championships, is a popular subset of the Pokemon community, and they always play. It's 2v2. All the Pokemon have very specific items and specific moves, and this DLC tries to emulate that with the people that you're fighting. So it's really hard. Like when we sat down to do the battle that I can't say who we were battling, but we sat down to do this battle.
Ja Rule.
It was Ja Rule.
It was Ja Rule.
It was Kevin Nash at NWO top, isn't it?
Kevin Nash with his junk hunched on the table, getting sweatier by the minute.
They were literally like, okay, sit down and play this. We don't expect you to beat this. We don't expect you to win. This is very hard. Only one person here has beaten it. And I was like, oh, okay. Because sometimes you get this at preview events where they try to like bam me up and stuff like that. Mm. Then I got into it. I was like, Jesus Christ, this is like, you have to be hardcore. I was sitting next to Joe Merrick, owner of bloody Cerebi, the world's largest like Pokemon font of knowledge. And he beat it, and I was like, oh, fuck, I can't show myself up in front of Johnny Cerebi over here. And then after that, I was like, so is that the vibe for the whole thing, or is that the last boss? And I was like, no, that's the first trainer you go against. I was like, Jesus Christ. So that it's going from a game that is incredibly easy to somewhat, not ridiculously hard, but my question will be, it's fine for a game to be hard, but it has to explain to people that play Pokemon how this stuff works. Like, it can't just be you go from your standard battles of like ABC kind of type matching to you are dead right now and you have no idea why. Why do all these Pokemon have items? Why? What do they do? It's all very kind of it'll be hard to explain. Chris, see with these DLCs, do you think it's cynical that a big portion of them is just like, mind all those old pals that you didn't get in this game? What if you paid to get access to them again?
Yes, very much so. It is like, and I can understand. I'm more forgiving than a lot of Pokemon fans are, because I appreciate there's nearly 1,000 of the pricks now.
More than 1,000 now.
Exactly, and it takes a while to model them and to animate them and all this kind of stuff. So I understand why they may not have wanted to get everything there on day one, because just of the sheer amount of man hours or woman hours, indeed, it takes to make that sort of thing. So. Yeah, I get it, but it does still kind of feel like before they even started, they went, right, these ones will be the DLC ones. Well, let's deliberately pick ones that people like, some of the fan favorite ones, and keep them to the side just so that we'll get a bit.
DLC includes every starter ever.
So well, there you go. Confirmed. It's like they've clearly, it's clearly been a decision that's gone just beyond, oh, we can't manage these ones, just leave them for later. It's like, let's deliberately leave out the good ones so people will definitely buy the DLC. Yeah, very much cynical hat on.
Yeah, so this DLC is set in the Unova region, which, for those that don't know, is the region from the fifth generation of games, Black and White, which is next in the queue to get a remake. So it's like, are they just straight up, like, there's lots of wee references and lots of bits and pieces. And it was quite funny because in the embargo agreement kind of thing, there was like a note from the Pokemon company being like, any references to the wider world of Pokemon are just there for the fans and are not indicative of anything else that's happening. And I was like, ah, you're arse. You're absolute arse. Come on now. But yeah, it was a, enjoyed it. There's a preview on the site that's out on this. What's the date of the Celtic game we're going to?
13th.
It's out on the 14th. So that'll be a hell of a week. Especially because we're going to be pissed up on the 12th. Well, you won't, but I will be. Pete, you want to come up to Glasgow for the Scottish Games Media Night Out?
Yeah, I'll be up for that.
12th of December.
I'll do it. Oh, December, get lost. Who's doing anything in December? Just, there's a million things that people have to do. Many obligations socially. Why are they doing it in December? That's insanity.
Because it was the one time we could all be like, yeah, we're all free.
I think I've not seen my mum and dad for about 6 months. I think if I passed them on the way to Glasgow, they would be a little bit irked, I think.
What, the president of Argentina? I think he's getting more on his plate at the minute than hanging about with you. Any more for any more, Chris? You played anything this week?
No, I quite fancy playing Hero Quest now. It sounds really good.
Gremlin made it. It was a stripped down version. It was a stripped down version of like the board game, and you know, being a little boy with precious few little friends. So it was quite good to, you could play a full game of Hero Quest without having to bother anybody in IRL, so to speak. And you know, and the things I got to do, people wouldn't want to watch anyway. So
I've been working my way through Game Boy Color games, so my continued book, and it's like some of the shite. that's on that thing. It's, like, it's interesting going from the Game Boy library to the Game Boy Color library, because there's obviously some Game Boys like 89 to like the 96, 97. And then the Game Boy Color takes over. And at that point, you can start seeing
proper cash
more movie
tie-ins there,
coming in. And it's like loads. And you're like, do we really need three ET games on the Game Boy Color? Do we really need two Austin Powers personal organizers? Like, come on,
yeah, baby.
It's going to be an interesting book
I started a career mode in EAFC on Legendary with Aston Villa. I don't know why. I wanted to lead John McGinn to victory. We're struggling, boys. I've played 8 matches, 2 wins, 4 draws, 2 losses, and the AI on Legendary and EAFC can shoot from anywhere in the half and it will go in. So you have to defend like you're like prime AC Milan. The only wins we've gotten have been in the Conference League against like Ghent and AZ and all these teams. Oh God, I'm going to be sent out to the world on this. I'm going to be on this managing in the Scottish second division before this season is over. I used to love a manager mode in EAFC. I don't know, or the FIFA series or whatever. I don't know why. I just can't. I always start it like full of beans, and then I get to like December, and I'm like, oh fuck this. Are you still messing about with a football manager? Pete.
I must admit, I went back and started playing Sensible World of Soccer management mode, but not actually playing like the game itself that everyone really enjoyed. When I was a kid, I just really enjoyed manager mode where you just simulated everything, and I was just bashing through like seasons. I've seen someone's done an update of like the league teams recently, and I'm just bashing through. Like, you can get a season done in about 10 minutes. It's blooming brilliant. You're like 2050 before you know it. It's blooming great.
Speaking of Sensible Soccer, so I was recently playing Cannon Fodder, but on the Game Boy Color, and I'd never played.
Oh, that's the thing, right? That sounds
but here's, here's the thing. I've never played that version, right? And it surprised me because for those who don't know, there's a lot of controversy when Cannon Fodder first came out on the Amiga, because the tagline was "War has never been so much fun," and it opens with like a picture of a poppy.
It's never been so much
and
fun.
It opens with a picture of the poppy, so obviously everyone was,
"Where's your poppy? Where's your fucking poppy?"
Mental, saying that this is a game like making fun of war, and they kept coming out saying, "No, it's actually a very anti-war game, because when your guys die, their gravestone gets put on a big hill, and you can visit them and all that kind of stuff." So the Game Boy Color game like it makes it even more clear. It still opens with the same tune. But when you kill a guy, the sounds he makes is like so disturbing. You kill a guy, they're probably like, oh, Jesus Christ. It's absolutely horrendous. So yeah, that was a nice surprise. It's so dark.
Taking screenshots.
I'll put a video up on my Twitter later. It's the most over the top death sounds I've ever heard in a game. It's like, Jesus. Fun times had.
Bye all. That's it for this week. You can follow us on TikTok, VGC_news. Follow us on YouTube, search VGC. Send your comments, questions, and concerns to podcast@videogameschronicle.com. Pete, give them one other podcast to listen to this week from the Stackiverse.
Well, to be honest, I spent most of the last Abroad in Japan talking about VGC, so Abroad in Japan. I listen to that. If you want.
I was going to buy your man's book on the way back up from London, but the last
don't
copy,
bother, didn't get a mention. Did not even you make didn't get a the mention? Acknowledgement. Oh, well. Disgusting.
I'm glad that the copy that was in the W.H. Smith books at Euston was all fucked up, so I didn't take it.
What is fucked? That was
it. Was like it was all bashed and stuff. Like. It clearly been like dropped on the floor and as I kept across it. Yeah. It was done by a Mr. Beat Bonaldson. I don't know who.
They'll
who
never get me
that.
Alive.
Yeah, check out Abroad in Japan. Check out. We've got a little indie podcast called The Football Ramble that you can check out.
Never heard of it.
Well, we're here. The first time I provided a clue for the Friday show, I chastised you for not crediting me. I then provided another clue for the Friday show. Once again, no credit.
I just send them on. I just send them on and I say, Jordan did this. Jordan did this for VGC. And it's not my fault that it doesn't get put. I can't remember what things were sent where. No, I'm not the man for
it's
this.
A joke. It's a joke. Follow
anyone
listening
to the Ramble, just assume that most of the clues are from John, because God knows our own production team cannot do a clue that is not, there's not going to be argued for weeks. Pugmol style online.
Jackmol.
Jackmol.
Thank you very much for listening. You can follow me on X at Jordan Midler, Chris at Scully 1888, Pete 1888. Why was that such a struggle to say? Pete at Pete Donaldson. Thanks to Grant Carcope for the VGC podcast theme song. Say goodbye, Pete.
Sorry about jerking it.
Say goodbye, Chris.
I'll never apologise.
Hope you have a lovely weekend of jerking it, and we'll see you next week.
VGC, a video games podcast, is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.